No, they didn't. It's great to be down here with you again. I've been looking forward to this for 9 months. So, I want to talk with you tonight about people that bug you. Have you ever been in a situation with someone where something they do or they are doing just simply is driving you crazy? And you're not sure what to do. It's like a dripping faucet. Not to refer to any particular verse. And it just sort of drips, drips, drips. And it bothers you. It's annoying. It's like a little pest. So what I thought I'd do tonight is just get right to the point. I'm going to give you 5 surefire ways to effectively deal with conflict, all right? Now, you won't have to write these down because they'll be on tape, and I'm sure you're going to want them. You don't believe me. You haven't heard me before, that's all. Okay, so you ready? 5 surefire ways. All of these are tried, tested, and true. Number 1, let them have it. Tell them exactly what you think and how you feel, and leave them lying on the floor in a puddle of their own tears. Maybe they'll finally get the point. Now, I know that one. It's very effective. I've tried it many times. Number 2, tell 5 other friends how bad this person is, so they will hate them also. And you'll feel so much better because misery loves company. Number 3, feed your frustration. Think about it over and over and over and over for months and months until you are full of resentment, full of bitterness. You finally can't stand the person and you just don't care anymore. I know that one works because I've talked to many people who've tried it. Number 4, never, ever give them the benefit of the doubt. Assume that you know exactly why they are so pathetic. Just a brief comment on that one. It was 22 years ago. Man, I can't believe it. My wife and I were having our first child. And my little girl, she was a footling breech, which means they don't come out the normal way. And so we were going to have the cesarean. We didn't find it out till about 2 weeks before the birth. So we're up at the hospital and they're prepping Kathy and they're giving her all those shots. She was awake during the cesarean, so they give you this spinal, I guess they call it. And so I'm sitting near her head and there's this sheet kind of in front of her tummy, but it's only up about 2 feet, but I can't really see over it. So we're there, we're talking, the doctor's intently working on the incision, and wow, that was pretty cool. You know I'm back, don't you? You knew that. You knew that was coming. Okay? You knew it. So here I am, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I wonder what it looks like on the other side of that sheet. Being the medical person that I am. You know, I've been an MD since my birth. So, it's the doctor of the soul right here. So anyway, I just leaned up on my little stool and looked over, and there was this bluish stuff thing. Her stomach was on top of her stomach, outside of herself. I must have turned a few colors. I'm sure I did. And the doctor looks at me and he swears at me and he goes, "You blankety blank, sit down. I won't have to be picking up your bloody skull off the marble floor. I got enough to deal with." I thought that was kind of a unique way for your first child. I'm just becoming a father. And I personally, it really bugged me that he would speak to us like that. Especially when we're paying him. They forget that sometimes, don't they? You know? It's like, you know, you've got a waiter or waitress is always really kind to you because they know you're going to tip them. Doctors ought to remember that sometime. So anyway, I sat back down and of course I was very embarrassed. I'm just an inquisitive guy. I mean, a lot of guys videotape the birth, right? So, not me. But I just wanted to see what I was paying for. Well, come to find out, A few days later, Kathy's in the hospital, and I'm holding the baby, and the nurse comes in, and I said, could I ask you a question, nurse? She says, sure, what's that, Mr. Darling? I said, do you know Dr. So-and-so? She said, yes, I do. I said, do you know, is he always this harsh and rough and lacking in civility? She said, well, actually, he has three little girls at home, and his wife's dying of cancer. Oh, I felt this tall. I thought I had him all figured out. Do you know why he was so pathetic? And then for a moment, as I sat there holding my new little girl, I put myself in his shoes and thought, I don't even know if I'd be at the hospital trying to help anybody if I had three little girls, my wife's home dying. Anyway, number five, if all else fails, ignore them. Avoid them. Just pretend they don't exist anymore and cut them out of your life. That one also is quite effective. Now, what I'm going to do is something a little unusual here tonight, all right? I brought along a video that illustrates the effectiveness of these principles. So I'm going to go off the stage, and I want you to watch for a moment, then we're going to come back, and we'll discuss it a little bit, okay? So watch it carefully. I saw that movie, besides laughing like you did, and falling on the floor, which is my custom when something strikes me as very funny. It made me cry. When it got to that scene in the movie, as it was transpiring, I could not help but cry. The first reason was because I've been in Dell's shoes. I've been laid into, ripped into, dressed down, and left there lying in a puddle. But the second reason is because I've been Steve Martin. And I've been the one who's laid into and ripped apart and sort of filleted with my words some of the people most dear to me. And it made me think, obviously this is a very bad way to deal with conflict. And obviously the five things I told you are a horrible way to deal with conflict. But I shared them with you. And I showed you this video clip to simply make a point. And that point is this. We must be very, very careful and very wise in how we deal with conflict. I hope that that image never leaves your mind, because all of us in this room have been both people. And sometimes when we're in the heat of the moment, isn't it easy to forget what Dell feels like? Because all we can think about is what Steve Martin felt like. And then when we stop and think about that little video, we may tread just a little bit more softly on those who are bothering us when we realize what it feels like to have someone lay into you. At the same time, we can relate to how Steve Martin felt. There are people in our lives, and sometimes they're the ones that you can't get rid of. It might be your spouse, it might be your roommates, it might be your boss, it might be your children. And they're there continually. You see, conflict is inevitable in human relationships. You can't ever get rid of them completely. How we deal with those conflicts is what makes or breaks a relationship. It's really as simple as that. How we deal with conflict. You see, the good times, they're easy. I mean, when you're with people and it's going just right, and you find that you're with people who like what you like, they laugh at what you laugh at, life is pretty easy. But it's when you're in a situation or you're in a relationship and, you know, there's these friction points, there's these tension points, and if your marriage is anything like mine, well, it's been 22 years of friction points. The good times are a breeze, because that's what good times are by definition. Sometimes they happen, sometimes you help create them, sometimes you work towards them, but every single day in my life, Kathy rubs me the wrong way. And every single day in her life, truth be told, I rub her the wrong way. How we deal with conflict, quite honestly, says more about us and our character than the other person. How we deal with it says more about us and our character than it does about the other person. Because, you know, isn't it easy when you're in the situation, we're just like Steve Martin. We look at that person and go, you're obnoxious, you're pathetic, you're thoughtless, the things that come out of your mouth don't make any sense. And we can go on and on because from our perspective, it's all true. Never dawns on us. I remember the first time it dawned on me that I bugged people. Believe it or not, I didn't see the light for quite a long time. I know, that just sounds, you're such an idiot, Mark. I just thought, you know, I'm gregarious, I'm outgoing, I'm enthusiastic, I'm nice, I try to be, I'm try to grow as a Christian. Why is it sometimes, Lord, people hate me? Well, because I got some hateable qualities, I guess. That was a real eye-opening revelation. I want to share just two very simple things with you tonight. We're going to do a lot more in the weeks to come, okay? So you're going to have to stay with me. But tonight, just two simple things that will change the way you deal with conflict. Think first and speak with love. We all know you cannot run away from conflict all the time. There are some things you can talk about. There are some things maybe it's better not to talk about. We'll get into some of that in the weeks to come. But the first simple principle is think first. Proverbs 15:28. A good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out his evil words without a thought. As a young man, believe it or not, I have a little living Proverbs that I've been carrying with me for 22 years. And if you open my little living Proverbs, all the words on the tongue are underlined. All the verses on accepting criticism are underlined. All the verses on raising children are underlined. And all the verses on marriage are underlined. And I would go over and over and over and over and over the verses on my mouth. You know why? Because my mouth can be very damaging. And I know that, and I realize that in more ways and more times than you can imagine. Engage your brain before your mouth speaks. Think it through. Here's a few things you want to think about. How should I say what I need to say? What should I say? Why should I say it? And when should I share it? Timing can make or break a situation. Maybe you need to share something with your spouse. Probably not a good idea to do it in front of the children. I find, quite honestly, that one of the best things that I've been able to learn to do as the years of my life have gone by is just to put a cork in my mouth. But let me put it another way. I was telling a good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, some time ago. We were on the phone and we were just chatting. And I said, "How's your day going?" He goes, "Oh, it sucks." Like pastors, we talk like that to each other sometimes. And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He goes, "My wife." So he begins to tell me the story, and I start to laugh. He goes, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Oh man, been there, done that." I said, "Do you mind if I give you a little advice from a guy who's been married about twice as long?" He goes, "Yeah, what's that? Shut up." You know one of the biggest lessons I've learned in marriage? Just shut up. Just take it. Just take it like a man. Okay? You're the man? Be strong. Just take it. Yeah, it hurts. 75% of what she says is meaningless anyway. And it's totally irrelevant and illogical and unreasonable. I'm just saying that's what it feels like sometimes. I'm not saying that's an accurate representation of the truth. But guys, can you relate to me on this for a moment? Sometimes you're going, what planet are you living on? Where did that come from? What relevancy does that have to our unique situation? I don't know if your situation's like that, but that's how it can be, and that's why, shut up. Shut up. Ponder. How should I respond? And sometimes, you know the best plan? don't respond. See? Because you took time to think. You say, what should I say? Nothing. How should I say it? With my mouth closed. When should I share it? Never. See? It can work. Another thing that my wife has found uniquely effective. We have a unique relationship, okay? Let's just be honest here. We're the opposite of most couples. I, as you realize, am extremely verbal. I'm sorry I was born that way. And it got worse after I came to know the Lord. I got a lot more to talk about. I had a very verbal father and actually a very verbal mother. Kathy is not extremely verbal. She does not think quickly on her feet. I, on the other hand, think very rapid fire. Bing, 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 bing. And in our early days of marriage and in my relationships, I just slice and dice whoever was around. That's what Proverbs says the wicked man's words are like the thrust of a sword. They just slash and hack whoever is around. That's why a good man thinks before he speaks. The evil man pours out. Whenever you're at a point you're pouring out, it's a good thing to look in the mirror and go, it's probably because you're evil. At that moment, it's probably because you're, I'm just spewing, you know, on who's ever around. Stop. Think. For my wife, you know what's helped her? She just writes me letters. She just go to her room and put it on paper. Frankly, it's usually more ordered. I read it. I always kind of prepare myself. She hands me the little letter. And I take a deep breath. Okay, I go sit in my chair away from her so she doesn't see if my eyes roll or anything like that. See, because then there's no nonverbal meanness. And I read the letter. And, you know, if the steam rises or not, she's not there to see it. But, you know, every time it's happened, it's like, you know what? She has a point. You know, I see that point. You know, Lord, I needed to be more tender. I needed to be more understanding. Think first. The second is say it with love. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth with love. Proverbs 16:23 says, from a wise mind comes careful and persuasive speech. Chances are, if you're not ever winning anybody that's close to you, you just need to stop and think some more. And plan your words a little better. You see, as we grow in our faith, one of the things that's exhibited is our mouth develops more because our mind and our heart start making a connection. And we start realizing that this would be a lot more effective if I said it with love. If I said it softer. If I said it with a greater tenderness. If I didn't make so many assumptions. If I spoke it with love. Saying just exactly everything you feel is not a good idea. If I could just be honest with you. Get out of the habit of saying just what you feel. Whenever you're in that kind of mode, stop and realize you will not possibly speak in love. See, sometimes in this culture in which you and I live and in this day when there's so much prevalence of self and self-actualization. We have a lot of people that are telling you, look, you've just got to let it out. Just let it out. You know, just say it. Now, I don't want anyone to mistake me. Absolutely, there are times we need to deal with a conflict in a very loving, forthright manner. But the Bible says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But only a word that gives grace to those who hear, that it might be a blessing to them. Wow, would that change our lives? But does that mean, God, that I can't say just what I feel? We're going to get to that next week. What do you do with the things you feel? We're going to get to that. But do not, in your relationship with those that you care for, or people at work, or customers, or clients, let come out of your mouth whatever you feel. Words can destroy a person or they can help. They can be a great help to them. The Bible makes it very clear that the tongue is full of evil. and it can start a large forest on fire, just a little tiny spark. How many times have we lost firemen? Have we seen on the news out in the West, in the mountain states, hundreds of thousands of acres burning because someone didn't take care of a spark? Now, let's just be honest. The greatest fires raging in our country are in the family. They're in the home. They're in our workplace. As we just let it go, we've got to learn that words are extremely powerful, and they can have great impact for good, and they can have a great impact for bad. We need to deal with conflict truthfully but lovingly. Let me close with this thought. Remember, always treat others as you would want to be treated. Always, always. You make that your rule for living. You make that your rule for relationships. You make that your rule for dealing with conflict. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be talked to? How do you want to be corrected? And then go and think first and say it with love. Next week, we're going to continue this, and we'll get a little more into the inside of conflict. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight that your word gives us guidance for our human relationships. Quite honestly, Lord, everything in our lives is relational. We have to deal with people every single day of our lives, whether it's a spouse, a child, an employee, an employer, a client, the person at the drugstore, the person at the gas station, the person we pay our bills to, the doctor, the nurse, the auto mechanic, whoever that person is, our days are filled with dealing with other human beings. And God, we would just ask you that you would help us to take to heart these wonderful principles that you've given to us. I would be the first to admit that they take real concentration to apply when we're in the heat of the moment. So help us, Lord, when we're in non-crisis situations, to begin thinking through now the new habits that we want to build and to begin building them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.